So it's a collaborative project, and often people sing the praises of collaborative projects, and so do I, but there are downsides as well. One is that you have to reach consensus about things, and sometimes you lose the argument. One example I'll give straight away is that I said the presenters should be listed in alphabetical order. Well, as you can see, I lost that one. It is definitely a collaborative project, and you'll see a bit later another argument that I've lost. But to begin, Wadia, in its regional context, is indicated by the red arrow. You've got Darwin up on the right-hand side, and the Western Australian border sort of runs down roughly a bit to the east of Kununurra, which is round about the centre of the slide shown there. So there are, we're right on the border of the Northern Territory and Western Australia, and that would become relevant a bit later on when we see some Western Australian languages being featured. A bit more about context. Wadia, or Port Keats as it used to be known, is a community of about 2,000 people. Some would say 2,500, but there's a slightly floating population. That's enormous in Australian terms, particularly in the Northern Territory. Originally established as a port, as Port Keats Roman Catholic Mission in 1935, lies within the clan estate of Dimmernan, but there are 20 other clans now resident there. There are various different ancestral languages, but Murinputta is the lingua franca and the first language for young people of all clans. So it's one of the healthiest. It's one of the healthiest Indigenous languages in Australia, with over 2,000 speakers. To put that in context, most Australian languages are in dire straits, and this is one of the few that's doing well. So the everyday language is quite healthy, but the song traditions have been declining for some time. That's partly due to social tensions arising from historical enmities between clans, perpetuated in contemporary gangs, etc., which I don't have time to go into right now. A little bit about the language. Murinputta self-servingly describes itself as good language, so Murin means language and Putta is good. It's a polysynthetic, non-Parmenyungan language belonging to the Daly group of languages. There are at least 38 verb classes and a complex pronominal system, approximately 3,000 speakers, the majority living at Wadia. But a project I'm working on at the moment is to look at the sort of Wadia diaspora, because we find little communities of speakers spread around. Community includes 7 Murinputta-owning clans. That language has become the lingua franca for speakers of neighbouring languages, another 12 clans who have settled at Wadia. So, in terms of the song genres, for Murinputta, there are Djanba, Wiljeri and Malgarin. Then some other languages like Maringar have a song genre known as Liriga. And then there are others like Wonga. And Murin Nyuan, sometimes called Djamanjong, has Bulga. So within the Port Keats area, you'll see a kind of territorial distribution of songs and clan country, as shown. Djanba, around Port Keats, Liriga off to the east, and Wonga to the north. So the three song genres basically interact with each other in certain performance contexts. I don't know why it keeps jumping ahead. In certain performance contexts, the other two genres will assist, if you like, the one of the others. Yep. So Djanba has a number of clans involved with it, Dimmernan, Ngangaw, etc., and it likes to keep moving forward for some reason. On the right hand of the slide is a compilation CD for Djanba at a place called Koi on the in the Port Keats speaking area, and that's one of the outputs that we've had in the past. Various compilation CDs of Djanba style, Liriga and Wonga, and we arrive at different times with, say, 100 CDs and hand them out. and that's nice in terms of getting material back to people. But what we find, even within a couple of days, is that someone's thrown one of the CDs onto the back of a truck, other CDs are seen running off in the mouth of a dog, and so the CDs are fairly fragile. And while they're good, they don't last all that long. So for continuing access, what we aim to do is have this database which allows people to access the stuff at the local knowledge centre. And increasingly, we expect local Aboriginal people to have greater access to computers. So these are some of the singers of the Djanba style. The man on the top left, Harry Luke Palada Kulumbura, was my main language consultant back when I started working on the language some years ago, and there are others shown there. This is to indicate that we're getting input from songs from a whole range of different people. Many of these people are now deceased. To give a flavour of one, and you'll see there's musical notation, the X's mark stick beats and such like. Basically, there's a kind of series of lines, line A and line B. So we've got four A's, two B's, and then three A's, and that gets repeated over and over again for several minutes. So let's... Okay, so one of the challenges is in that sort of oral input that you're getting to be able to transcribe what's going on. Were you able to make out any of the words as they went past you? No? Well, I can assure you, when I got into this stuff first, I would go to presentations of Aboriginal music and say, yeah, whatever. Anyway, then I found myself having to transcribe it. And so I can assure you, those couple of lines involve a lot of blood, sweat and tears. We then have an example from Wilkitty, and I'm wondering whether I play the... Yeah, I'll play one more. As part of the documentation, you'll see on the bottom right hand of the slide information about where the song came from. It was given to a man called Timarar while he was sleeping, and this is often the way that songs were transmitted, in, as people have told us. The spirit people, Karutida, woke him up to give him the song. Kanel, his deceased daughter, was dancing with the Karutida. So there's... a kind of direct transmission, if you like, of these songs from spirit people. I'm not going to play the Mulgarin simply because we're a bit short of time. This is another instance of where I lost the argument. The photo montage was put together by Linda Barwick, and as far as I'm concerned, there's far too much exposure of me. But looking at the bottom left-hand slide, you'll get a slice of Australian life. A couple of kangaroos that were recently shot have been wired onto the front bumper bar or bull bar of the troopy that we're driving around in. And you'll see on the far left in the black T-shirt, Alan Marrott, who's just retired as Professor of Musicology at Sydney University, and Nick Reed, who does doesn't seem to be in the room, but is one of our collaborators, but he's standing right next to me. The point is that there's a whole bunch of people involved in it, and it's certainly not just me. One of the people involved in it is Linda Barwick, who's shown there with Bernadine Kungl, after having loaded 2,000 locally recorded songs into the Wadia Library and Knowledge Centre computer back in 2003. So that was an early stage before we got onto the documentation proper. Now we move to the website proper. You'll be able to look at this at your leisure simply by googling MP for Moripatta song. And one solution we've had to the problem of orthography, which keeps coming up, is to have two separate, to present the material in two separate orthographies. So the blue one is the academic website, the red one is the community website, and you might just be able to make out, although it's a bit fuzzy, part of the drop-down menus, or even just the name of the language up on the top left. So on the blue one, it's Moripatta, and on the red one, it's Moripatta, because the sound doesn't change, it's just the way you spell it. So for academic or technical purposes, we've developed a particular orthography, and you simply toggle from one to the other, and the techies have been given algorithms for by us as to how to flip from one to the other, because one of the team had said, the orthography used by the community is no good. We've got to change it. And I'm thinking, don't go there. this is one solution, which I acknowledge the assistance of Bill McGregor for doing, which is something that he did as well. To get to the database proper, here's an example of the song sets. So along the top, you've got search functions, song sets, song text, events, totems, places, language groups, and roles. This gives you an example of the song sets. You'll see a kind of magnifying glass for inspect and a shopping basket for adding things as you go along. Because it keeps jumping, I'm not quite sure what it's doing. Okay, so here's a Junba song example, which I will play for this one. And so we've got musical notation, a version. This happens to be the academic version. Along the top line, and then a morpheme by morpheme gloss, and then the morpheme breakdown. In the second line, then the translation, and then part of speech stuff down the bottom. You'll see right at the bottom 5 stars for annotation quality. Some of us might be lucky enough to stay in 5-star hotels, and they have extra things like minibars and so on. 5-star annotation doesn't involve a minibar, I'm afraid, but we'll see examples of 3-star a little bit later. Up on the top left-hand corner, you'll see a Play Me button, and also a PDF function, so you can simply choose what you're going to have on the PDF. So the box on the sort of right hand says, show me the song line, rhythm, translation, word box, etc. So you can decide exactly what presentational information you want. We then have examples of language groups, just skip over that. Clans, a clan example showing the members and also the clan totems and so on, which becomes fairly relevant to explicating the songs because each particular clan, as it sings, will have these highly elusive statements like honey or something, which then conjures up a whole lot of totems that are relevant to them. Events. All of these are public events, as is shown in the abstract. For each event, we have an illustrative photo, if we've got one. Otherwise, we simply use a kind of default Wadia Aboriginal language languages centre instead of a photo. For people, in some instances, we don't show the photo simply because Aboriginal custom prefers not to show the photo of a recently deceased person. The one shown there is F. Bunduck, second from the top, died in 2008. And his photo is not shown, whereas his sibling, Kevin Bunduck, is shown. He died in 1994. But sometimes it's simply a matter of what community people tell us. The one shown there is P. Bunduck, has no photo, and that's partly because she's just a bit shy. She doesn't even want her full name given. Well, we're prepared to accommodate to that kind of stuff. For the information about particular people, the screenshot shown here is in the is the one that you can only get to as an admin. So there are a variety of users, from the public to researchers to community people to admin. So up on the top left-hand corner, you'll see admin. So this is the stuff that only certain people can get to, and for that reason, on the screenshot, we've shown it so that the comment box is obscured, because there are some comments in there that we don't want to be made more widely available. So if you went in as a member of the public, the comment box would be blank. Song texts. I think that's fairly straightforward again. So let me just move on to another example of a song text. And this one is shown there as 3-star annotation quality. So why is it 3-star? Well, you might just be able to make out at the back of the room that the second bunch of stuff has got a whole lot of stars in it to indicate we simply can't figure out what's going on there. And in the fine print, the annotator's note, it indicates that the last line is inaudible. The explanation given for it was that long word, which I won't try to repeat without practicing it. But in fact, the material on the tape doesn't sound much anything like that particular explanation. Now, if you think about it, sometimes when people are trying to hear the words in a song, they don't always get it exactly right. This phenomenon is sometimes referred to as mondegreens. So some of you may have heard of the lesser-known brother of the famous author Frank McCourt, who wrote Angela's Ashes, and that became quite popular a while back. His brother Malachy McCourt wrote a book called A Monk Swimming. And as he says, when I was a small fellow growing up in a very Catholic Ireland, I thought the Hail Mary went, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou, a monk swimming." Whereas it's supposed to be amongst women. But that's, in fact, typical of mondegreens. Where does the term mondegreen come from? Turpin and Stebbins, in a recent article, talk about this thing, so I'm grateful to them for the term. "They have slain the bonny Earl of Moray and laid him on the green," and Lady Mondegreen, thus the term Mondegreen. Another book by Malachy McCourt is Harold Be Thy Name, which presumably comes from Hallowed Be Thy Name. So let's turn very briefly to dissemination and storage. Traditional modes obviously relied on human memory and face-to-face transmission. There's a long history of recordings kept in local repositories and distributed informally. For instance, even the fairly recent business where we made these compilation CDs. But web database provides differential access depending on user type, and we've set out some of the different types: the general public, community, project researcher, academic and community. And the digital sustainability depends on partnerships with external institutions like the Northern Territory Library, universities, etc., for long-term backup and conservation. The future of Yunba. Main singers and composers now passed away, so the performances, which were going strong literally every night when I was there in the early 70s, by the mid-80s, houses, most houses back in the early 70s didn't have electric power. So all you had to do in the evening, there's no television because there was no television reception anyway, but even radios were a problem because the batteries eventually run out. By the time I got back in the mid-80s, people were playing Elvis on boomboxes and stuff, and the songs had gone into dormancy. So in future, the database may be a major source of information about the songs and their meanings and contexts. And so the performers, researchers and technologists have attempted to design the research to enable such reuse in education or in new performances. And just some thank yous from a range of people involved, and that's it for me. So I'm just about on time.